I was on Facebook, and it's very interesting to read people's posts. Some of them are not so good, and some of them are good. And a lot that I saw just got you back, your head back in the game where it's supposed to be. You know, one of them said, Memorial Day is not all about a three-day holiday and a barbecue. It's about remembering. Right. And not only do we remember people who have served, passed away, but you know what? For me, I remember to pray. So you ought to be praying at least tomorrow morning. Get up and pray. Stick your flag in the ground and say, Lord, I'm going to pray for this nation. I'm going to pray for our leaders. I'm going to pray for those that serve. All right. You don't pray, then you have to keep your mouth quiet. Yeah, tell everybody. Yeah. All right. So today's memorial. This is the weekend for that. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, as a Christian, I am always fascinated when I read about martyrs, Christian martyrs. Anybody ever pick up a book? They're not very uplifting in some sense, but I get fascinated when I read about Christian martyrs and what they faced and what I face. I'm like, right? So there's way back in 67 AD, you know, it's just a little while ago, there's this guy named Nero, and Nero was the emperor of Rome. And he was not quite there. He was literally crazy, okay? This is the ruler of the nation, and he's literally crazy. And one day, let me tell you how crazy he is. One day he decides, you know, I think I'm going to burn half of my city. All right? That's crazy, right? A little nuts. You guys with me today? All right. Okay. So he burns half the city, and then the other half that's left goes, you know, I wonder who did that? Who did that? Who did that, Nero? So Nero says, oh, those were those Christians. All right. So he gathers all the Christians and he says, hey, why did you guys burn our city? And they go, we didn't do it. We didn't burn the city. And so Nero then goes and he says, hey, here's the deal. You deny Jesus Christ, and I'll let you live. You don't deny him, and I'm going to kill you. Okay, that's martyr stuff, right? So what he does is he grabs a group of them, all you guys in the middle. He grabs a group of you guys, and he goes out, and he kills a whole bunch of wild animals' skin, and kills wild animals, sews the skins together, and then he places them on the Christians, a group of Christians. And then he throws them into a pit of wild dogs, and they devour these people, these Christians. Okay, that's a pretty bad way to die, huh? All right, it was horrible. Top it all off, old crazy Nero. He takes another group of Christians, and he made them watch it. And then he says to them, deny the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll live. You don't, you're going to die. And you know what they said? I'm not going to deny my Lord. So he does the same thing. Puts the skins on these guys, throws them into the pit of dogs, and they devour them. Crazy, huh? The leader of your nation. All right. Okay, then he gets another group of Christians, and he takes their clothes and he dips them into hot wax. He pulls it out. What? Okay. He pulls them out. Wendy's like, look at me. He dips them in. Okay, rerun. He dips them into hot wax. Pulls them out. Lets them dry. He dips them again into the hot wax. Pulls them out. Lets them dry. He keeps doing this. Okay, do you know why? He wants to make sure their clothes are really thick in wax. Because what you don't know is Nero had a garden. He loved his garden. And at night, he loved to walk around his garden at night. And through the pathways, he had poles placed. Yeah, you know where I'm going here. So we grabbed that group of Christians and he said, you deny Jesus and you'll live. You don't, you're going to die. And you know what they said? No, we'll never deny our Savior. And he takes those clothes that he's dipped in wax, they've gotten really thick, puts them on them and puts them on a pole in his lovely garden that he likes to walk through at night, and he lights them. That's a horrible death, isn't it? Okay, So today's message is not any more about martyrs, okay? I mean, if you're like a little bummer here going on, all right? But it's just interesting. It fascinates me because I think, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. Would I be able to make that same choice? I'd like to think I would. How about you? Yeah, I'd like to think, okay? So today I really want to talk about, not about anymore about martyrs, but the decision they made to be able to make that decision that they would not deny the Lord Jesus Christ, even if it meant death. So I want to talk about the decision that they made that caused them to be able to stand and do that. And I believe you and I can make that same decision that if we're ever put into that situation, okay, you'll be able to stand. So I think we need to understand that situation, all right? Now, if you're visiting today, if we're so glad you're here. Today is a 2-week series we're on. This is our last week. You missed it last week, okay? And we're on a series called Fans, Friends, and Followers. Okay, so today we're going to wrap up on friends and followers, but last week we talked about fans. And so this message is really what I call a vision message. And every church is supposed to have a vision. It says, my people perish without a vision. You know what? Businesses are supposed to have a vision, or you go goofy, right? So you're supposed to have a vision. Our vision at YCF is to gather to worship. Excuse me, yeah, gather to worship. Gosh, praise the Lord, need that coffee. Okay, and we grow through times of the word, and we grow times of the word individually. And then we grow as we connect maybe in grow groups. You'll grow in the word with people like that. And the last one I really want to talk about, our vision is to go. So we gather to worship, we gather to grow in the word, and then we go. And go, who do we go to? We go to those who are far from God, so we can connect them to him. Guys, that's why we exist. That's why this place, that's really why churches are here. We exist to go to people who are far from God so they'll connect. All right? So that's our vision. Every vision has to have a mission statement. And I was telling you last week, I said, you know, I think the beginning, we actually started this church, 32 years ago? Something like that. It's been a while. And we had this goofy long mission statement. You couldn't remember. So we're making it small. Our mission statement, by the way, is how you do the vision. The mission statement really is how you do the vision. And again, churches better have a mission statement, and businesses, they have a mission statement, how they do what they do. All right, so ours is really simple. Fans, friends, and followers. And that's what we're talking about. All right, that's what we're talking about. And that's pretty simple. Can you remember that? Fans, friends, and followers. And actually, we put all our energies into that. You come here, you're going to see us put our energies into fans, okay, who become friends, who become followers. That's what we do here. And one of the ways that we do that is through the worship service, through our grow groups, and through volunteers. I'll talk about that later. Okay, so we believe at this church that if you gather in a service or a grow group, even volunteering will take you from a friend to a, from a fan to a friend to a follower. So today, I want to talk about this amazing thing called a friend, all right? A friend of Jesus. So, I have a lot of friends, but probably the best friend you'll ever have is Jesus. So we want to talk about that. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Father, for your great love that you have sent your son Jesus to be our friend. And I pray, Father, for eyes open, ears open, hearts open, and give us understanding, Holy Spirit, on how this works in our life and what we do as a friend and a follower in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess I should back up. If you weren't here with us last week, we talked about a fan. A fan of Jesus is simply someone who's not yet connected, okay? It could be someone who we said who's an atheist. They're like, no way, I have not connected. It could be somebody who's been brought up in church, but they've not connected personally with Jesus. Uh-huh. It could be the worst sinner, and they've not connected Jesus. It doesn't matter, because we believe that we can take a person to give them an experience through our life and through the Word of God, and they'll see through us, oh, you know, I don't know this God personally, but I kind of like what I hear. And that's when they become a fan. All right? So you are so important. Your life, if you already know who Jesus is, you are so important to live your life, to talk to people. And we said last week, likable people like people. So our vision is to be likable to people so they'll be a fan. And they're like, oh, you know, that wasn't so bad. I came with you to church. It wasn't so bad. I kind of liked what that pastor said. I think I'll come back. Hot dog, that's a fan. All right? That's a fan. And then we believe that the fan will become a friend who will become a follower. So you guys play an important part about that. All right. But let's talk about what a friend is and how to become a friend. You got your paper? First scripture, 2 Corinthians. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All right. Now, right above that, because I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself. Today, if I were to say, what's the one thing I want you to walk out of here and know and understand? What's the one thing I want you to get out of here and never forget? This is the big idea, is that friends love Jesus and followers live for him. Okay? So friends love Jesus. All right? So we'll keep coming back to that. Let's read that scripture. Anyone who is joined to Christ is a new being. Anybody a new being here? Old thing is gone. The new has come. All this is done by God, who through Jesus changed us from enemies into his friends. Okay, so if you're not a friend and you're a fan, you're like, you're just kind of thinking on this Jesus stuff that people talk about. And you know, you got this neighbor, they are just always so sweet as pie. And so you're a fan right now. Well, this scripture says that a fan will become, or has the ability to become, or our goal is that they would become a friend. And this scripture also says, prior to that, it says you're enemies of God. But once you become a friend, whoa, you're a friend. All right? So did you see that? Okay, let's keep reading. And gave us the task of making others his friends also. All right, so that's what a follower does. A follower of Jesus, your task is that you help others to become a friend. That's how you know you're a follower, all right? Followers help others become friends, all right? Now, verse 17. Our message is that God was making all human beings his friends through Jesus Christ. God did not keep an account of their sins. He has given us the message which tells how he made us his friends. Okay, number one, what is a friend? Who is a friend? A friend is someone who's born again, a born-again Christian, and that simply means that they have received Jesus. One day, someone presented to them the message, and they said, yeah, I would like to receive Jesus, okay? So a Christian is a friend, all right? A Christian is a friend. And listen, there's a whole bunch of friends out here. I know, all right? So a Christian is a friend. A Christian is a friend, all righty? So second thing. This thing, it keeps going, the message, the message, the message. You see verse 19, our message, all right? And down at the very bottom, the message. So this is Paul who's writing this, and you want to go, well, what's the message? What's the message that we take and tell that will help people become a Christian? I think you ought to know that, otherwise you're like, what am I doing? All right, so what is the message? Guys, it is the most beautiful message. It's story of the cross, right? It's a story. It's the message is Adam and Eve sinned. They disobeyed God. We became sin stained. Okay. We were separated from God. But God in his great love never said, chuck them out. He said, no, I love them. I'm going for them. I'm going to send my son Jesus for them. So Jesus came to the earth. This is the message. He came as a babe, right? And he grew, right? And listen, he went through every pain that you go through, every temptation that you go through, everything that you go through. Jesus, while he was on this earth, he went through. All right. And then while he's about 30 years of age, God, he is exposed as God the Son. And he goes around and he starts teaching people wherever he goes. This is the message, guys. Okay. He starts teaching everybody who God is, how much he loves them, and the power of God all through his ministry, 30 some years on the earth. All right. And then people are loving him. They love his message. They just love Jesus. And they want to make him king. And he says, no, I didn't come to be king right now. I came to die for you. And that's exactly what he did. He died on a cross. God raised him again. So that's the beautiful message. Don't you agree? That's the message. So that's the message that we want to tell and live so someone can go from a fan to a friend, and then a follower. They got to go friends first. Okay. So that's the message. Let's see. If the majority of you guys are a friend, there's some really cool things about being a friend of Jesus. There's some really positive things about being a friend of Jesus. Now, if you're a fan, you're not there yet. But if you're a friend of Jesus, that means you're a Christian, a believer, right? There's some really positive things. So we're going to go through them here. You ready? What's number one say? Friends interact. Friends interact. Okay, friends interact. Okay, and then I have in parentheses worship and the Bible. But we'll get back to that in a minute. Friends interact. So if we're friends, we hang out. We might go out to eat. If we're friends, I'll come over to your house because we're friends. We interact. Or I'll pick up the phone and we'll call each other and we start interacting. Okay, so friends interact, right? All right, now, how about every time you walk out of a worship service? By the way, worship is not a song. You don't have to come to a song to worship. You know, worship, I worship the Lord just at home and by myself in the car. Just, Father, you are so wonderful. Thank you for your great love. I just love and adore you. That's worship, okay? Now, it is really cool when we come here on a Sunday because you all sound really good together, okay? But when we walk out of worship time, that's an interaction with the Lord, right? How about as you read your Bible? That's how we interact with God. So friends interact. You can interact through worship. And what's the other one? Through the Bible. All right. And I am off my page here. Let me see. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Number two, enrich. Friends should enrich. There's like when I hang out with you, you have put stuff into me. I am so much better. Because of your life and my life. That is why I get on people's cases. If you don't have friends, you get goofy. You get some dumb, dumb ideas in your head. Yeah, okay, I do too. And that's why you need friends, right? Friends just keep you, they're like, that was the dumbest thing. What were you thinking? Oh no, what do you mean? And then they help. They help you. So anyway, friends are really good, right? Friends are really good. So they enrich you. Now, I'm going to say something and hear me. I personally believe everybody should have one or two friends that drain your battery. Write that down. Pastor D, what are you talking about? Well, by the way, this was the week that things started breaking in my house. And one of us was our riding lawnmower, actually a week ago. And Jesse would, we had a bump, a new battery in it. And he'd go out the next week and the battery was drained. I was like, bummer. Well, this went 3 weeks and two batteries and we decided we really had a problem. But like getting back to friends, you should have two friends that drain your battery, but they cannot be all your friends. If all your friends are draining your battery, that's a no-no. Okay? Number one, it's really a tough walk. It's not good for your life. So you should have more that charge your battery. Right. Okay, but you should have one or two that drain your battery because you get to put stuff in them. That keeps you from being selfish. If you just have people that just blah, blah, stroke you, come on, you become big fat Christians. So you need people in your life that you get to pour into that maybe drain you. But max, how many? Max, two, some days, one. All right. But really, isn't it awesome to have friends you interact with? Right? Isn't it? It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And again, that's what happens every time you get in a worship service, right? All right. Number three. Let's go with this one. Number three. Friends support. And then I have in parentheses prayer. Okay. Friends support. Friends support. If you're a friend and you're my friend and you're going through a tough time, guess what? I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there for you, right? You're going to encourage them because we're friends. I'm going to encourage you. I'm looking at your life going, wow, this isn't fun. I'm going to call Robert up. I'm going to encourage him. All right. I'm going to pour into them. Sometimes you might have to get up and go over to their place and help them do stuff because they need some lifting up, encouraging. All right. So friends support. Now, the way God supports us is through prayer. You know that Bible verse that says, cast all your care on the Lord for he cares for you? Well, that isn't the two-year-old temper tantrum in front of the candy aisle. It's God, and he's our friend, right? And he's listening, and this is what it'd be. Oh, Lord Jesus, I have had the worst week of my life. This broke, that phone call, okay. And God, I need your help, I need your strength, I need your grace, because I need you. And because God is your friend, guess what he's going to do? Do it! He's going to do it, all right? So that's a good friend. Listen, that's a really good friend. Because sometimes my friends call me and it takes me a while to get back to them. I'm not looking at anybody here, okay, all right? Okay, but listen, God hears you, all right? He hears you and he'll get right on it. Amen. All right, last one. Friends inspire. Friends inspire. All right, have you ever had a friend that just inspired you? You can do it. I see this. You can do it. Or you can do that. Back when my kids were little, back then I only had three, and then there's this lady in my life, Pam, and she had four kids, and she inspired me on how to parent, how to be a good parent. Because I was either going to go crazy with three, and then I was going to be pregnant with four, or I was going to be inspired. And she inspired me. I watched her with her kids. By the way, if your kids are just out of control, go find somebody who just does it and then pick them as your friend. I literally did that. I said, can I be your friend, Pam? By the way, I was only about a year old in the Lord. And she's like, oh, the poor baby, you know. Anyway, let's the scripture for that, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Anybody ever hear that scripture before? So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know what happens? That means when you read your Bible, it's going to put a substance inside of you that's faith. Okay? Reading your Bible will put faith in you. And guess what? That faith will inspire you. But guess what you have to start with? Read your Bible, pray every day. Okay. You have to start with reading your Bible. Okay? You have to start with reading your Bible. So, when I read my Bible, okay. How many of you know me a little bit? I don't like summer. Not complaining. Just gonna flat out. It's like my least favorite. Okay, I'm not complaining, not complaining. So Friday at 8 o'clock, it was probably about 9 o'clock in the morning, I had turned on, the day before it was kind of chilly, so I just came home, I just left the windows open that night, the house cooled down, but Friday I'm like, man, it's stinking hot, I'm gonna put the AC on. My central air, I'm going to put it on. I put it on, and the Holy Spirit says, you better go downstairs and check. So first I go out, and I look at out my window where that unit thingy is. What's that called? Thank you. That's outside there. And I could see the fan running. I was like, Holy Spirit, you better go downstairs and check, because downstairs there was water. It's like, stink. So I call this company that I pay that's supposed to take good care of me. And anyway, they didn't, not until Tuesday, okay? So I have a two-story house. It is so stinking hot, I want to tell you. So that was Friday, Saturday. About halfway through Saturday, I am grump, okay? And I have a basement that has tile. At one point, I am laying on the tile. And Jesse's working, Sherry's home, and we're starting to grump. It wasn't pretty. And you know what? The Lord said, go to your room, you know, go to your corner. And I just cracked open my Bible. And I'd been up early, but this was like about 2 o'clock, and grump, grump, grump. So I got in the Word. I was reading everything in Psalms that says, praise the Lord, be joyful. You know, I was just reading. And then I finally, by the way, I went down the basement to do that. Then I just like cooled off, cooled down. And I got inspired. Yeah, Sherry, we were kind of nice the rest of the day. All right. You know, some of you might be going through some really bad storms of life. And God has given you his word that will inspire you, that says, yep, I am going through this and I'm going to make it, because I've been in the word. It'll put faith. It'll put substance in you. And you're like, ha, 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 ha. Okay, I'm waiting for Tuesday. Okay. All right. God will inspire you. Amen. Praise God. Okay, so we did that one here. It's good to be a friend of God. Amen? Friends love. Yeah, fill in the blank. Friends love Jesus. Okay, now there's a downside to this, because if you're just a friend of Jesus, there's a problem. There's a problem. If you're just a friend of Jesus, there's a problem. There's a downside to this. All right. And I think, you know, the word of God will give light, so you're not walking into the wall. So let's look at this one. Number one, friends can be casual. Friends can be casual. This is a problem when you're just a friend of God and not also a follower. If you're just a friend, okay, this is the problem. Friends can be casual. So, you know, I have this friend, actually a friend from college. Man, she knew me BC days and AC days. It's just really funny. AD or whatever that is. Okay. And, you know, as much as we're friends, we kind of have this casual friend. You know how often we get together? Once a year. She's a casual. I get casual with her. Okay. And she gets casual. She always calls me for my birthday, all right? So this can happen, being casual with Jesus, who's supposed to be our friend. So if you're a friend of God, you're a believer, you've received Jesus Christ. But you, if you're just a friend, you can be casual with God. You can be casual with God. And I call them the CEO Christians. Christmas, Easter, and other high holidays. So that's the only time they come to church. Okay. They're a little casual with God. All right. Or maybe they don't really read their Bible, except for when they can find it. They can become casual with God. And you know why? Because I think they're just a friend. Just a friend. All right. So that's a problem. You can be casual. All right. And you, listen, guys, it's easy to be just a friend and to be casual with God. I've been there. Oh, yeah. I have been there. I was just casual with the Lord. Do you know one time I got mad at God? For 3 years. And I didn't read my Bible. That's pretty bad. Okay. But I was a friend of Jesus. Okay. You can do that. Dumb. Not good. All right. So that's the problem with being just a friend. All right. Number two. What's that one say? Ugh. Have their own lives. Friends. This is sort of what I've noticed. Okay. How many of you, your schedules are full? Some of you, I'm like, you got two schedules and they're both full. You know, it cracks me up. Sherry has two screens on her desk. It's just, her life's busy, okay? You can be so busy that even though we're good friends, we're so busy, we don't hang out. Anybody have, you're just so busy, you don't hang out? Okay, all right. So busyness can stop you also from connecting with Jesus. But I love Jesus. Yeah, but I'm so busy that I just don't. I just, you know, I'll do that tomorrow. God, you know, I was so busy today. I'll spend time with you tomorrow. So when you're just, I love Jesus, a friend, you can be casual and you can just have too much going on in your life, right? All right. What's the next one there? Oh, if you're just a friend, everybody does this. I'm telling you, you do this. I've done this. That means you have other friends and family. All right. Now, before I met Jack, I had a group of girls. We ran. I didn't know Jesus either. Okay. We ran. Okay. Then I met Jesus and I still had this group of girls and we'd have a blast. We would, matter of fact, all of them got saved. So we would do spiritual things too. We would go to church services. We went to Christian concerts and then we'd do natural things. We would go shopping. We'd go out to eat and I don't know. I can't remember. It's only been 40 years. Okay. So, but then I met Jack and we started dating. Okay. And then I stopped hanging out with my girls. I know. Then I'm looking over here. I did. And they got all over my case. Hey, Dee, you're not hanging out with us anymore. And I said, well, he's so cute, you know. It didn't go over. But see, that happens. Okay. Doesn't that happen with friends and even family? You just kind of, things go away here. All right. And then I also remember, we started having kids, and so friends that didn't have kids, we just couldn't do what they were doing, so they went that way. We still, hi, you know. But then some of our friends that were having kids, when we were having the kids, we invite them over, and the kids would tear up the place, and that was fun. But then as our kids got older, we just couldn't even hang out with them because our kids were running with the kids, okay? So sometimes you have family and close friends that just kind of consume you and you can't hang out with the rest. Anybody ever do that? Okay. When you're just a friend of God, just love Jesus, you know, you just love him. You can do that with God. Anybody ever do that with God? All right. I don't even have to give you an example. Okay, you do. You're so busy with just hanging and doing life that he's not there first. And that's the difference between a friend who loves Jesus and a follower who lives for him. Now, a follower who lives for Jesus, they also love Jesus. They love Jesus, right? So they love Jesus, but they also live for Jesus. And you know what makes this big jump from here to here? And you read it in all sorts of scriptures, but it comes down to this one main thing. They have made Jesus first. He's not the bottom of the list on priorities. He's the first. Okay? So a follower will make him first. And I believe that the decision that those martyrs made was they were followers. They had made the decision that they would follow Jesus. So yes, they loved Jesus. They were friends. But then they made this next thing. I will follow you. And that's why I believe they could say, no, I'll not deny you. I'll take death. All right? So we want to get from being just a friend. And you ought to be a friend. You ought to love Jesus. Everybody say, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. But, you know, we ought to get to the place where we take this next step and say, I want to be a follower. I want to live for him. All right? We want to live for him. So I don't know where I am on my page. So friends love Jesus, followers live for him. I got a definition on the bottom. I actually stole it from somebody else because I tried writing one. This one was so good. I'm not telling you who. Look at this. This is what a follower is. A follower is a person who tirelessly attaches themselves to the teachings, and beliefs, of another, giving them their wholehearted loyalty and support while helping them spread their teachings to others. Okay. You don't follow me. You don't follow a pastor. You don't follow a church. You don't follow a denomination. Yeah. Who do we follow? Yeah, that's who we follow. So someone says, oh, well, Pastor D, I'm following you. I said, well, I'm an example, but we always follow Jesus, right? We always follow Jesus. We always follow Jesus. But I'm here to help, help you on your way. All right, so I'm going to read this definition one more time, but I'm going to insert some things. So if you have a pen, get ready. You're going to put it in here. A follower is a person who tirelessly attaches themselves to the teachings and beliefs of Jesus. Write that in there. That's a follower. Giving him, giving Jesus, their wholehearted loyalty. Giving him their wholehearted loyalty and support while helping him spread his teaching or message to other. Guys, that's a follower. That's a follower. All right? Now, here at YCF, our goal is to create fans who then will become friends, and then you'll become a follower. All right? And my goal is to make more and more and more followers. Followers of Jesus. That's my goal. Matter of fact, the Bible says that's my job. Right? You read the job description of a pastor, and I actually say I'm a coach. I'm a shepherd. And my goal and my job is to bring people to Jesus and then make them more and more and more. So that's my job. All right. Now, look at this scripture. Flip your thing over here. Luke 14:33. I'm going to wrap up real quick, and I'm going to give you two foundations that I think a follower does. And you'll see the big difference. A person that loves Jesus, right? And a person that lives to follow. But I'm going to give you these two, just two, and then we're going to wrap up. All right. Number one is, we're going to get to the scripture. Followers will forsake anything. Followers will forsake anything. Those were those martyrs, don't you think? They would forsake their life. You think they're a follower? Yeah, heck yes, baby. All right? So followers will forsake. Now, sometimes God won't ask you to forsake something, and sometimes he will. But look at this scripture. This is out of the Message Bible. Simply put, if you're not willing... Okay, when it says if you're not willing, it has to do with your heart. Okay, this is a heart issue. This is a heart issue when you're a follower, all right? If you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss them goodbye, you can't be my disciple or, and I threw in follower, right? You can't be my disciple or follower. You know, sometimes God will ask you to give up some things. And just sometimes he'll say he'll put them on the burner, or sometimes he'll say, hey, just move them. Now, I want to tell you a story about me, and I'm going to be really transparent, and you're going to still think I'm an awesome pastor, okay, about this. Every year, usually around February, the Lord has to deal with me on this issue that he wants me to put aside, okay, every February. And now let me back up. I talk to people and they tell me they don't like TV. And I'm going, man, I love watching TV. I love it. All right. And I like watching cooking shows. By the way, after 8 o'clock at night, I don't watch them because then I get crazy hungry. So I got to do those early. So I like watching. I got some favorites. I like Ina and, you know, Giada. So, okay. So I like watching cooking shows. And then, you know, when it's 8 o'clock, I'll switch over to home decorating shows. Love watching Flipper Flop. Oh man, the Property Brothers. I just love watching these guys. Okay, I get inspired. Yeah, they're not a friend. Okay, so I'll watch them. Okay, and now don't think bad of me, but Downton Abbey. Man, I was religious watching that. Okay, yeah. And what am I gonna do now? Okay, so usually this happens to me around February, and I start, because I'm indoors, and I just start watching a couple of hours of TV, and the Lord deals with me like he does his lot. D, that's too much. D, I want you to give me an extra hour. I'm like, this is my conversation with God. Are you kidding me? I already get up at 5:30. Come on, God. I do God stuff all day long. Pastor. All right? Okay, this is my last one. But God, this is me time. And the Lord says, D, too much. I want you to give me an hour. By the way, I do not get up before 30. Okay. And you know what? D, I want you to give me an hour. So you know what I do? I do. And what happens is I actually get back to the center. I get back to the center where he's really the priority in my life, and he's consuming me. All right. And you know what this is about? This is like, I'm a slow learner. About every year for the last 3 years, I'm watching too much TV in February. And I should be going, I should get ready for the phone call from God. But you know what? I do. Because I know he loves me. He's a friend that loves me, and I love him. And this is what I found out anytime. It's happened to me, not just with TV. Anytime the Lord will say, D, you know, I want to be first in your life, and you need to forsake some things. Anytime I do that, bam, it is so much better in my life afterwards. My life gets, okay, enriched. I don't know. I was trying to think of another word, and all I could think of is enriched. Now, I usually don't use that in a conversation, but the more that I just give him that extra, I am so enriched, better, gooder, pumped, that how could I not? How could I not? All right. So I love that. I love that. Now, last one. Here we go. Number two, followers spread the message. All right. Here at YCF, guess what we do? We spread the message. You guys started it. All right. The word. Okay. We spread the message. That's our goal. That's why we exist, to spread the message. Okay. Now, look at this last scripture. Matthew 4:18. Okay. You know why we spread the message? Because I get phone calls and I meet people and they've got heartache in their life. They've got tremendous things in their life, and I come to find out they don't know who God is. They don't know the Son Jesus. They don't know the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So I was like, man, I just want to spread this good news, this message. That's why. All right, so here we go. Message Bible, here we go. This is Jesus, and he's going to bump into Peter and Andrew. Walking along the beach of Lake Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew. They were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular job, right? Regular work. Jesus said to them, come with me. I'll make you a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass. That's why I like the Message Bible. They didn't ask a question. They didn't ask a question, guys. They just simply dropped their nets and followed. So you know what they did? You know what they really were doing? Yeah, I'll go. Yes, Jesus, I'll go spread the message. That's simply what that meant. All right? So, guys, it is awesome to love Jesus, to be a friend of Jesus. It is awesome. It's wonderful. Come on, isn't your life so much better? Whoa, hands down. My life is so much better. I am a nicer person. Okay? But he was asking them to spread the message, to follow him, be a disciple, to follow him. All right? Now, let me say this. Probably less than 5% in this building today, you could just jump for joy to go knock on a door of somebody you don't know and tell them about Jesus without freaking out. All right? And even those that, that less than 5% that do that, they still sometimes with fear and trembling. But this scripture isn't asking that. God's not asking you. There are people that are called and anointed to walk down the streets and knock on every single door. Okay? There's people that carry crosses in the middle of Times Square. Okay? But that's not what God's asking us to do. He's asking you to spread the message. Let me tell you how easy it is. First, pray. Every one of you know somebody who is not maybe not even a fan, definitely not a friend, and surely not following. You know someone who needs to know Jesus. Start praying for him. That's simply what it starts in spreading the message. You have to start praying for them. Write this scripture down, 2 Corinthians 4:4. You're going to love it. You're going to wear it out. You get to heaven and God says, for crying out loud, you're about wore it out. I'll tell you what it is. This is what you pray for someone who does not know Jesus. It says, the God of this world has blinded their minds that they cannot see the glorious light of the gospel. They can't see the message. Now, when you are a believer, when you are a friend, you have authority. So you go, I command that blindness to come off of their mind. And then you go, God, send people to them that'll tell and live and love them. So then they can see. All right? I do this. Oh, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Take authority over the blindness of their eyes so they can see. And God, send laborers. You know who a laborer is? A laborer is anybody that they'll listen to. Okay, sometimes I tell God who they should send. And they're not listening to the ones I'm sending. So I just decided, stop controlling, D, and just, God, send people that they'll listen to. All right, so number one, how you spread the message, a follower spreads the message, you start with prayer. You start praying for people, okay? Father God, this is so-and-so, and they don't know you. And Lord, I desire that they would know you, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, okay? Second thing, so first we pray. Second thing, look for open doors. So likable people like people. There's doors open to you all over the place. All right? If you're a friend, you are a likable person, you like people, you want what? Smile. Smiling makes you live longer. Smiling makes you approachable. I have so many doors open just because I walk around and go, hi, to every cashier. And the people behind me probably are ticked because I'm talking to the cashier because we just connect. All right. So look for open doors. Look for open doors. It's just fun. It's fun spreading the message. So one, a follower spreads the message. And it's not that hard. It's not hard. Especially if you've started praying about people. Okay. And then I'm looking for open doors. And then I'm going to, be that light. See somebody that they're just, you know, they're in a sad situation. I'll just say, hey, how you doing? And it's crazy. They just gush. I was like, door open. All right. So if you're a friend, you love Jesus. You love Jesus. If you're a follower, you live for him. Okay. You live for him and you spread the message. So how do we wrap up? Let me think. Praise God. I want to give you one more way that we spread the message. There's tons of you that do this here. And you do a really good job. All right? It's by being a volunteer. You know why? When you volunteer here or in your church, okay, you help the vision. You help us get the vision out. You help us go to those who are far and create, connect them to God. So when you volunteer, you actually are spreading the message in a way that helps everybody. If you volunteer in children's ministry, hands down, you are spreading the message. I've led more kids to Jesus than I've led adults. And all through a lollipop. You can get anything with a lollipop. It's just crazy. Okay? But seriously, volunteer. Now listen, I know we're all at different places in our life. Some of you have some really incredible situations in your life and you're not able to volunteer. Others of you, I love singles. Oh man, I love retired people. Oh my gosh, okay. I love you when you get your kids out of your house because you got more time to volunteer. All right. And what you do is you come alongside and you help spread the message when you volunteer. Now, so I used to get, who was I? I was talking to Eddie back there. He's got some kids and we were talking about children's ministry. And I said, you know, children's ministry, people used to say, oh, Pastor Day, I'm so burnt out. Are you kidding me? You know what our schedule is, Michelle? What is it? 2 weeks on?
4 weeks off.
4 weeks off. You got burnt out in 2 weeks? You had 4 weeks off. All right. Children's ministry, fun. You get all the lollipops and pretzels you'd ever want and stickers. Okay. And I demand that you take a nap afterwards, okay? Nursery, you help the peace of the Lord, okay? Nursery, guess how often you get to serve in nursery? Close. Once a month. Someone said once every 6 weeks. That'd be great. Once a month, all right? And you get to get on the floor, and you get to eat Cheerios off the floor. Wall to wall, all right? And then you play with we have this little cooking set, and you get the plates out, and you put pizza on it, the fake pizza, and you just play with kids. And we read Bible stories with them, by the way. You know, it's just not all that, okay? So once a month, we have ushers. Raise your hand if you're an usher. Raise your hand if you're a greeter. Raise your hand if you do the coffee and connect. Raise your hand if you do bookstore. All of you guys help spread the message. And all of them, it's usually once a month. It's fun. Now, great thing about serving, besides you bless my socks and you help others, is you get to connect. You know, and you become a team. And this becomes your place, right? And remember, if you're all by yourself, you're goofy. Yep, I'll have to reel you in. But you go to a grow group, man, they just get rid of that goofy. It's great. You go serve on a team. They help you get rid of that goofy, okay? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hey, did this help anybody? Okay, friends. Okay, followers. Live for him. Hey, praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for, first off, the message, the cross of Jesus. Man, we are so thankful. Father, we are so thankful for what Jesus has done. Are you all thankful? Man, the message of Jesus. Praise God. Father, we're just so thankful. Thank you for what you have done, your great love. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who came and took our place, took our punishment, took us and brought us into your presence. And the way you see Jesus is the way you see us. We are so thankful for that. And we are so thankful, Father, you just love us more than we'll ever know. So we thank you for that. And Father, I thank you that this word has inspired people to walk deeper with you. To not be satisfied with being just a friend, but to be co-laborers to take this message to wherever you call us. In Jesus' name, amen.